Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, and this is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, June the 1st in the year 2011. Gosh, can you believe it is already June? We're in Tampa, Florida, and we're celebrating the beginning of hurricane season today, so very exciting. Our topic tonight is ADHD transitioning from school to summer break, and with us in our virtual studio is Keith Lowe. I'm going to go through a couple announcements, and I will have to say this show tonight was pre-recorded because Keith had a conflict tonight. But we'll get into that in just a second. As I always remind everyone out there, for all of our listeners, particularly our iTunes listeners, if you'd like to have a list of our upcoming shows delivered right to your inbox, go to attentionradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. Just type in your email address, and we will send it to you. It goes out bi-monthly, kind of the first week and the third week of the month. We are scheduled out now, I think, almost through July and working on some August shows. We've got some pretty exciting stuff coming for you guys this summer. But again, if you want to get a preview, go to attentionradio.com. A few announcements. As usual, the CHAD conference is coming up in November in Orlando, Florida. For more information on that, go to chadd.org, as well as, I believe on the 13th, no, the 12th, a week from Sunday, up in the College Park, Maryland area, Now What? A fun, informative look at adult ADHD will be taking place. It's being put on, I guess, by CHAD and ADD and Loving It, or Totally ADD. This is actually a live show where Pat McKenna and Rick Green will be, live talking about Now What with ADHD. For information, go to chadd.org. I believe they have a 1 o'clock show and a 6:30 show. So be tuned into that. I really wish I could be up there because that sounds really pretty exciting. Again, tonight our topic is transitioning from school to summer, and Keith Lowe is our guest. And without further ado, we'll get on. Again, this has been pre-recorded. I will be in the chat room if anybody's listening. We can chat and talk about questions, but let's go on with the interview. With us today in our virtual studio is Keith Lowe. Keith is an ADHD guide for the New York Times About.com website. She's a contributing writer and expert panelist for iParenting.com, part of the Disney Family Internet Group, and has a clinical scientist appointment with the Center for Development and Learning at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She's currently a full-time writing professional. She's also a psychotherapist with a background in child and adolescent psychology and is experienced in working with children diagnosed with ADHD and their families, as well as families dealing with disruptive behaviors that accompany obsessional defiance and conduct disorders. In addition to individual and family therapy, child and family assessment, treatment planning, behavior modifications, and social skills training, she has led parenting groups and provided clinical supervision to other therapists and social workers. She has worked with preschoolers and school systems, classroom teachers, psychiatrists, pediatricians, and other professionals who interact with children and their families dealing with ADHD. You can learn more about Keith and her work if you go to www.add.aboutabout.com. And with that, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on.
This is our topic today is ADHD transition from school to summer break. And I know for many of our listeners, that's starting to take place in the month of June. However, it's happening for me today and tomorrow. I got my younger one gets out, I think, at noon tomorrow, and my older one's got an exam Monday or Tuesday, but we're getting ready to make that transition. And I understand you're in the throes of it as well.
I am. All my kids are out on Friday, tomorrow.
It's absolutely crazy. Everything's winding down and getting ready to start and everything. And so I think this topic is very timely. I guess to kick things off, Keith, I'd like to ask, what are the advantages of school routine for a child with ADHD? I just want to kind of anchor that, and then we'll start to transition into the summer stuff.
Okay. Well, just in general, kids with ADHD really benefit from routines. Mm-hmm. And so, if the school day is organized and predictable and the teacher creates a stimulating learning environment and has a solid behavioral management plan in place, all this helps add external structures for the child.
Uh-huh.
And some kids can structure things around themselves, but for a child with ADHD, it's much more difficult, you know, because of the ADHD itself. They struggle with the ability to regulate themselves and to stop and think and inhibit behaviors, and also just to keep their focus when there's so many things that are pulling them in different directions. So the symptoms of ADHD can lead to problems with self-control, and as a result, these kids simply need more external controls. And the structure and the routines at school, they help provide this. There's an analogy that I heard a long time ago, but I still think it's really, really helpful in explaining that a little bit. And that is, the analogy is that the routines and the consistency and, you know, the reminders and limits that you set, the behavior management at school and at home, that we use to help kids with ADHD is a lot like scaffolding. You know, the scaffolding that's on a building, that it provides supports as the building's going up. And so with the scaffolding or these structures and supports in place, these routines, you're helping the child to experience more successes and develop greater competencies and as a result, greater confidence as well. And eventually this will help them to develop better skills to organize and structure things around themselves as they grow on into adulthood.
Certainly, certainly. So that, those are like the advantages of the school, the routine and stuff like that. Now let's kind of shift gears. What are the benefits to an ADHD child of actually summer break?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, everybody needs a break. And so time off from the pressures of school, both the pressures of academics as well as the social pressures that can be felt so intensely by kids with ADHD. So I think time off can be a good thing. You know how you feel when you've been working nonstop and you just need a vacation. So I think kids can get burned out, and a little bit of a break can help. A lot of times people think about ADHD as only affecting school and academics, and for some kids that might be the predominant area where they experience problems, but it's much more common that ADHD affects all aspects of life, including home life and family interactions, neighborhood interactions, after-school activities. So for parents, summertime can it can bring about many challenges and and also an increase in stress because the kids, they're home all day.
Yep. And that kind of – that's interesting because there's the benefits of the school routine for the ADHD child, and there's also the benefits of just taking a break over the summer. But having a routine in the summertime, if you could do it, would be helpful. For parents of ADHD kids, they're making the transition, the kids can come. What do you recommend in terms of routine, and do you have any tips?
Yeah. I think the routine during the summer is really, it's just as important as during the school year. Again, it's the structure that a routine provides that's helpful. And kids with ADHD do need these external structures and controls. And without them, they can end up getting into trouble, or it can be more difficult for them to manage their symptoms. So summertime doesn't have to be quite as regimented as the school schedule. It can certainly be more flexible. But there does need to be some structure, you know, a day-to-day routine. And wake-up times, meal times, bed times, all that should be fairly consistent. We, you know, sometimes we let sleep slip a little bit during the summer, and because the kids may stay up later, or some kids will sleep in, some will still be up, you know, bright and early. But all that's okay. But overall, don't let things slip so that the kids aren't getting enough sleep or they aren't eating at regular intervals, because, you know, when they're tired and they're hungry, they're going to be much more, they're going to be a lot crankier and not very happy. But in terms of a summer schedule, I think you really do need to plan some activities, and they need to be fun and interesting, because kids with ADHD, they need this stimulation. And the truth is, if they don't get it in appropriate ways, they're likely going to, you know, create some stimulation of their own, and you may not like it so much. And so you don't want them to become bored without any kind of activity.
Absolutely. You said a few things there that for our listeners, we only our shows are only 30 minutes long, but we've had such great guests on. You talked a second ago about kids being tired and hungry, and some stuff. And we had Dr. Roberta Olivardia on, I think, the end of February, talking about the impact of ADHD and sleep.
Yeah.
And he was really, if the kids don't get enough sleep, it actually accentuates the symptoms of ADHD. Imagine when you're sleep deprived, it's hard to pay attention. So if you already have ADHD, it makes it more difficult. Plus, there's starting to be some research that's linking weight issues associated with ADHD and weight issues associated with sleep deprivation. So it's kind of like a double whammy. If your ADHD child is not getting enough sleep, it can increase the level of the symptoms. In addition to that, it can create some weight problems. And you had just hit it. You know, if they're tired and hungry, that really manifests, and it makes things just that much more difficult. The other thing that I want to bring your attention to is prior to this show, just for scheduling reasons, I had to tape a show that's coming up. I think it's next week or the following week with Dr. Patricia Quinn, talking about being an ADHD parent, managing ADHD kids. And as you listen to the shows, the Olivardia shows and the Quinn shows might be ones you want to tap into, because it will help support what Keith's really talking about.
Yeah.
What ideas or activities do you have for children's summer schedule that you recommend or that you'd like to share?
Okay, well, I think it can be individualized for each family depending on the ages of the children and the interests and needs of your kids. But if you can plan in activities in which your child gets some time for interacting with peers, that's always helpful. And also, kids tend to benefit from academic opportunities during the summer, just review kind of activities, so that they don't lose information over the summer and, you know, they can start the next school year at a similar academic level. And if your child's able to do a day camp or even an overnight one, that's a natural way to get structure in place. But if you're going to do that, do your research, you know, to find a camp that'll best meet your child's needs so that it's a positive experience. And make sure your child gets outside and plays and gets plenty of physical activity. If your child can swim, the pool is always a great outlet for exercise in the summer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So basically, just talk with your children to plan these things and have them be involved. You know, what do they like? Is it art activities, science, sports, swim lessons, or music opportunities? Also, if you have a museum fairly close, it's always nice to go to the museum or a zoo or local parks. But I think the gist is to tailor the activities to the child's interests and make it fun. And then get out a big calendar and plan the summer and write out the schedule on the calendar,
mm-hmm.
so that both you and the kids can see what, you know, what each day is going to bring, and have a daily schedule, and then post that in the kitchen or, you know, wherever's the best spot where everybody's going to see it.
Certainly, certainly. I tell you what, Keith, we need to go to a commercial break.
Okay.
Okay, can we get back? I want to just kind of talk about what's my experience with getting kids active, just a little bit of a challenge, and we can kind of talk around, because I know the world is a little different than when I grew up back in the 60s and 70s. But before we go to commercial break, for anybody who's got any questions or would like to contact Keith, the best way to do that is to go to add.about.com. And I believe, can't you click on the Contact Us button there, Keith?
There is. You know what? I'm not even sure what's on there. It might be through my bio, or maybe there's a contact. But let me give you my email address, too. People can certainly email me. It's add.guide@about.com.
Excellent. And with that, we'll be right back after this message.
Okay.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD. Is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. And we're with Keith Lowe today talking about the transition from school to summer break. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about routines, and I wanted to share this with our listeners. As an attention coach and ADHD coach, I've worked with a variety of people, and there is one thing that I find, and everybody's ADD is different, but many of those with ADD find it a little bit easier to do things if they do it with other people. And in terms of routine, something as simple as maybe getting your children to read in the morning to help their academics kind of continue over the summer, while you're reading the newspaper, just sit at the table or on the couch and actually do that together can be very beneficial, as opposed to saying it's time for you to go read and do some other chores. So I just kind of want to throw that in there. I have worked with some people and there's been some success around that. So in other words, try to do things with your kids, at least on some of those things. Now, Keith, I wanted to just kind of bring up a topic that's always been an issue, at least in our household, and maybe you can kind of comment because it can be a challenge. When I grew up back in the 60s and 70s, you know, in terms of the summertime and outdoor activity and play, we just hop on our bikes and off we would go. And I live in Tampa now, and my kids, I got a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old, and back when, you know, they were a little bit younger, I was like, let's jump on your bikes, let's go, off you go. And it's interesting, so many kids now don't go outside and play like they did, and they have these scheduled play dates, and it's all disorganized and arranged that it's kind of do that ad hoc type stuff. Can you comment on that? Is my experience in that similar from what you've heard from some other people?
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably do the same thing. I think there's more worry about safety nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and things that we didn't worry about, or you know, our parents didn't worry about when we were growing up. We never locked our house door. I mean, we lock it when we go out of town, but they never locked it at night. And my dad would leave his car keys in the car, you know, when it was parked at our house, and he'd leave it in the ignition, no less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we rode our bikes everywhere, like you say. We'd ride in the neighborhood, out of it, back in. You know, but right now we live sort of in the country, and the roads aren't really safe because of the cars, and they're narrow,
mm-hmm.
low. So that has limited bike riding for my kids, except in the driveway. And my oldest daughter likes to run, but I don't let her do that by herself. I think for more of safety,
mm-hmm.
worries. You know, we'll do it together, or she'll run and the younger kids will ride their bikes with me. We can see her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as a parent, you have to sort out what makes most sense safety-wise, and
mm-hmm.
you know, without being a helicopter parent that hovers, but being one that lets your child be independent, but also that keeps safety in mind. But I think the point that you are making is that we need to be careful not to limit our kids' outdoor play and physical exercise because of fears. And, you know, just in play in general, free play, it's so important for the kids. Separate from safety issues, I think that sometimes we can find ourselves just so hurried and overscheduled that we just aren't allowing times for the kids to just get out and play, and for older kids that means, you know, more free time and downtime. I think one of the things that's different from when we were growing up is our computers, because nowadays kids will spend more time engaged in
mm-hmm.
a more passive play, playing on a computer or video games or sitting in front of a television and being a passive observer and just being entertained, you know, by
mm-hmm.
electronics, and rather than finding ways of entertaining themselves. But play is active. You know, it's using your imagination, it's being creative, it's reflecting, and the computers and the television, those are all passive types of entertainment. And I guess in terms of electronics, what I've always found that just a moderate approach is best. They don't have to be forbidden, but as a parent, I think you do have to set limits around those things. You know, the video games and the computer and the
Absolutely.
Cell phones and the television, especially in the summer, because I think there is a tendency to use them more, you know, during the summertime.
Yep. Particularly, just I talk to a lot of parents. You know, the kids wake up, they go downstairs, maybe grab a couple Pop-Tarts, and the parents are, you know, running around doing their stuff in the day, and it's so easy to fall into the trap to let the kids, because the kids will just migrate right over to the computer
right.
games and start playing that. And, you know, from a parenting perspective, I mean, they're being good little kids at that point in time. They're not causing any trouble. They're nice and quiet. So it's actually easy, but you have to moderate as a parent, because if you just let them do it, a habit will start to form.
Right.
And it really kind of, it can create some problems.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I lost my thought. Well, okay, so we talked about this activity stuff and just some tips on some places to go. Certainly with activities, you know, YMCAs, summer pools, lakes, those types of things, where other kids type to congregate, and parks can be natural places to take people, go to the playground, to go to take the kids there, and that way they can interact and actually get some play and some activity in.
Mm-hmm.
Other things I'd like to suggest for, at least for the academic side, is there's a lots of libraries, and this was interesting to me, that will have like summertime where you get together and they read a story or do a poem, particularly for the younger kids, that you have to kind of uncover those rocks. You have to go visit the libraries and ask what's there. But it's amazing what's available that's just hard to find because it's not necessarily in the newspaper. So I just kind of wanted to toss that out as some thoughts and some ideas. Keith, one of the questions we always talk about is self-care for both kids and adults. Can you talk to, like, stay-at-home parents when the kids are home and their need for a break and self-care in the context of understanding that kids are around at that point 24/7?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that's one of the reasons summer can be so hard is because the kids are home 24/7. I mean, unless you plan some activities for them or camps or classes. And so I think it's really helpful for the parent if they can schedule in some downtime and just regular breaks for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be that, you know, you have a babysitter that comes in, or it may be that you schedule play dates at friends' houses and that gives you some breaks, or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, your partner does, or another family member, and again, camps or classes. There's a lot. There's art, you know, pottery, drawing, or it can be sports related activities. All these give you a little bit of a break. So just make sure they're scheduled in, and for you as a parent, always make sure that you're getting the sleep that you need, and that you're eating well, and exercising, and really planning in the downtime. I mean, you have to schedule it in so that you can, you know, that you can best care for your child, so that you have energy, you have more energy, you have more patience for dealing with the challenges that ADHD can bring.
And I think you've made a good point. You need to actually schedule it, not just
yeah.
let it float around the day. You have to be diligent and stand up for your time, because if not, it'll get sucked into the demands of everybody else. And I mean, at the end of the day, everybody wants your attention, and if you pay attention to just paying attention to everybody else's needs, you kind of lose sight of your own, and that can create some problems for you.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff, I wanted to say one thing, because you did touch on the academics, but I wanted to emphasize that a little bit more, because particularly for kids with ADHD, a lot of times kids with ADHD will also have accompanying learning disabilities. So,
mm-hmm.
so summer really is a good time to... Don't go overboard, but to focus a little bit on the academics, because kids will lose academic growth. All kids will lose academic growth over the summer if they don't do anything. They'll just, you know, so they'll slip a little bit academically, and when they come into the next year, they won't be at the same. They'll be at a lesser
yep.
level than they were when they ended the year. So if you can do anything over the summer, particularly in reading, which you mentioned, and also in math, those are two areas that we tend to lose skills if we don't do anything with it. And it doesn't have to be grueling, but just review work so that they don't lose that.
So they just remember it. So when they go in, they don't have to relearn what they forgot over the summer.
Yeah, and sometimes parents will get, particularly if a child has learning disabilities, they might get more formal tutoring in place.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be formal tutoring. It could be that you're just, you know, like you said, you're just planning in and scheduling in regular academic activities at home with the reading times or the math sheets. And, you know, you can ask the school about workbooks that would be good, or the library is always a great place because not only do they have the great books, but they have, usually they have reading lists too.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I want to, Keith, I need to go to another commercial break.
Okay, all right.
Come back. When we come back, I want to kind of expand upon this, and I also want to talk about the debate about medication holidays and stuff over the summer time. But before we go again, if you were interested and need to get in contact with Keith, you can do so by emailing her at add.guide@about.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ari Tuckman, author of More Attention, Less Deficit: Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. This is the only book actually written for adults with ADHD. Each chapter is divided into short articles so you can read only the stuff you want in the order you want. I take lessons from the research and make them totally useful in your daily life. You can get a free PDF of the first chapter at adultadhdbook.com. Check it out.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Keith Lowe in our virtual studio talking about the transition from summer to from school to summer break. We've got a couple minutes left, but before I forget about it, I get pressed for time, I want to let our listeners know that Keith will actually be coming back on Attention Talk Radio the end of June. January the 22nd, she's going to come on. We'll be talking about explaining ADHD to your child for the first time, which is a fascinating topic, and I encourage you to listen to it because I think you'll very much enjoy it. And then the week after that, we're going to have her on for a sequel. Well, not a sequel, but another conversation about the impact on ADHD on non-ADHD siblings, which should be another exciting show. So again, she'll be on June the 22nd and June the 29th. Keith, kind of getting back to things, I'd like to talk about the whole concept of a medication holiday for those kids that take stimulants. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, ADHD affects each person each child differently. And so for some kids, the symptoms may be more severe. For others, they might be on the milder side. And it might be that the way the symptoms manifest for your child, for example, they might struggle primarily with inattention, and this might create weaknesses that are felt most strongly in an educational setting. And maybe there aren't really any social issues that come into play for that particular child. In this case, you know, a medication break may make sense. But on the other hand, the symptoms of ADHD do tend to affect all aspects of a child's life. You know, socially, at home with family, getting along with others, following through on tasks, and just getting through the day in a positive and productive manner. So I guess the best advice I can give is to talk with your doctor, you know, to sort out what is most appropriate for your child. You really do have to take an individualized approach. If there's side effects that you've worried about but you've been hesitant to make changes during the school year, the summer might be a time to make those tweaks and adjustments. Or even medication changes, as long as you can carefully monitor things and carry out the plan with your child's doctor. if you're traveling over the summer or on family vacations or your child's in camp or involved in activities that require them to maintain focus and control their body and relate to peers and, you know, manage transitions and emotions and frustrations. And if they are on medication that helps them to do this, then a medication break may not be in their best interest because they're going to have the same difficulties during the summer that they experienced during the school year. So,
I
just say get together with your doctor and figure out what's going to be best for your child.
You said something that really kind of stood out to me a second ago, which really made a lot of sense. getting the ADHD meds right is a little bit of an art because kids, they change, they grow, the metabolism changes, they're more active, and all that stuff can kind of have an impact. And you just said, you know, summertime might be a good time to adjust, tweak, maybe try some different things just to see how it works. And I'd never really heard that before. It makes a lot of sense, but it is a great time to do that because you can experiment and you don't have the issues and stuff with school that's associated with it. So
as long as you're monitoring it closely, you know, that you're there to pay attention and see what needs to be taken care of and how you
certainly
monitor the symptoms. Sure.
Certainly. Keith, we got about 90 seconds left. Is there anything, any other words of advice that you've got that we haven't covered?
No, I think just plan ahead. Plan ahead for the summer is the key, so that you can get some sort of a schedule in place for your child and for you, so that you have those breaks when you need them.
Absolutely. Well, Keith, again, thank you very much for coming on. To get in touch with her, if anyone needs to contact her, would like to ask her questions, again, you can email her at add.guide@about.com. And with that, Keith, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take care, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.